It's a wonderful privilege to share with you all this morning. And also to say how deeply we appreciate all the support we receive from our home church. Support in many of those ways that Amy was talking to the children about. As you know, we are Donald and Ruth Garvey, and our children are Samuel, age 11, Beth, 9, and Matthew, 7. We're grateful for your support in many ways. Firstly, thank you for praying for us. Thank you for encouraging us in various ways, emails, text messages, phone calls. Thank you, some people, for visiting us. And thank you for your giving, which enables us to serve the church in Nigeria. In Romans chapter 1, that we read a few moments ago, Paul addresses a church which at this point he did not know personally. Nevertheless, notice what he writes in verse 8, following his opening greetings. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Why? Because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. There are many Christians around the world today whom we do not know personally, but we can give thanks for them because we have been told about their faith. Let me read something about the worldwide church today. During the past century, the growth of Christianity has exploded in numbers. Interestingly, the demographic center has also shifted south, with 75% now living in the global south, Africa, Asia, and South America. This is great cause to give thanks. We'll come back to this quotation. We are going to focus on Africa and one country in Africa. We have the great privilege of serving with your help in Nigeria. And the growth of the church in Nigeria is great cause to give thanks. Later in Romans, Paul speaks about the unity of the body of Christ. Romans 12, verse 5. We, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. If we are Christians, then we are united to Christ. And because we are united to Christ, we are united to every other Christian. We here in Bangor are one with our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and around the world. Jesus said, I will build my church. And he continues to fulfill that promise today. If we are discouraged in our part of the world, let us remember that we are part of Christ's growing global church. Think of the wonderful scene in the book of Revelation. A great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, worshiping God and the Lamb. In that great multitude, many will come from Nigeria. Nigeria has many nations, tribes, peoples, and languages. It has a huge ethnic diversity, even in relation to its great population. Nigeria is the most populous country in Africa with about 200 million people. That's about 3 times the population of the UK, and it's still growing fast. About half the population would describe themselves as Christians. And that includes a wide range of people, many who are deeply committed to the Lord. For others, Christian is simply a name, and they have little understanding of the gospel. The other half of the population, approximately, are Muslims. The Muslim population is mostly in the north, and Christians mostly in the south. So that means that there are about 100 million people who need to be evangelized, and about 100 million people who need to be discipled and strengthened in the faith that they profess. Remember the great commission of the Lord Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The church is called to make disciples, not simply Christian converts. And Paul was very conscious of this. Look again at Romans chapter 1, and this time verse 11. He writes, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Sometimes we read the book of Acts, and we read about Paul's journeys, and we think of him constantly moving on to new places where the gospel had not been preached. And that is true, but there is also a clear concern for the strengthening of Christian disciples. Acts 15:32. Judas, also known as Barsabbas, and Silas encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. Acts 15:41. Paul went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Acts 18:23, Paul went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now let's go back to that quotation that we read a few moments ago. It speaks of the great cause to give thanks in the growth of the global church. The quotation then continues, and we pick it up halfway through. This is great cause to give thanks, but the growth of the church has outpaced the supply of pastors and elders equipped to lead congregations. An estimated 85% of the 2.2 million evangelical churches worldwide are led by pastors with insufficient training. And this is definitely true in many parts of the Nigerian church. And sadly, when Christians are not taught the gospel, are not taught the Bible well, we are often left open to the dangers and exploitation of false teachers. How should we respond to this situation? Well, surely it's in the one body of Christ we have a responsibility for the spiritual good of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. The quotation here that we've looked at comes from the Gospel Coalition and from a project of the Gospel Coalition called Theological Famine Relief. That might sound dramatic, but I think it is easy for us to take for granted in this part of the world the training and the resources that we have available to us. We have ministers and many mature Christians who can understand the Bible and can apply it to Christian life. The Nigerian church lacks well-trained pastors and teachers. And it's in this situation that we serve in Nigeria to help strengthen the church. Can we notice how Paul completes his statement about visiting the Christians in Rome? In verse 11, he spoke of his desire for their strengthening. Then notice verse 12. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. This is not a one-way street. There is sharing and partnership in their relationship. I think Paul was serious about those comments. It is not our place to have superiority. In our case, Ruth and I are accepted into Nigeria as partners with an existing Nigerian denomination called ECWA, the Evangelical Church Winning All, formerly the Evangelical Church of West Africa. And as we do that, we live in a city called Jos. It has many of these wonderful rock formations that you can see in the picture, with houses and churches built on those rocks. It's a city of about 1 million people located in the central part of Nigeria. high on a plateau, about 4,000 feet above sea level. And that fact gives it a pleasant climate. Its central location is also important. It's centrally located in the country, and that makes it a strategic base for many Christian organizations. It's close enough to the north of the country to support the persecuted church in the Muslim-dominated part of the country. My role with ECWA is to support one of the church's main training institutions, JOS ECWA Theological Seminary, or JETS. Good Christian books are a vital and important part of that work. I help to direct the work of the library of the seminary, the Biancato Research Library. And a big part of that is training library staff, like these ones here in this picture, to better serve the students and lecturers of the seminary. I also have the privilege of teaching mostly church history in classrooms like this one. At JETS, we have about 500 students in training, many to be pastors of churches, others to be missionaries within Nigeria and even across the borders into neighboring countries, and others are training to be school teachers for church schools.
While Donald has been based at JETS, God opened the door for me to work with local believers within the education department of City Ministries. City Ministries is a charity that was established to reach out to the vulnerable and marginalised in JOS. It's a department of the Evangelical Missionary Society, which is the compassion or outreach arm of ECWA, and many of its staff have been trained through JETS. On a day-to-day basis, this means that I spend my time mainly in paperwork, writing curriculum, organising resources, planning and writing exams, preparing teacher training materials, and helping with the general administration of the primary school. I usually travel 2 days a week to visit the school to facilitate the teacher training and to support the staff and the pupils in their different roles, and these are some of my colleagues. We've often asked in our prayer letters for prayer that we would love the people that God has placed us among. Paul writes later in Romans chapter 12, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep." It has been a privilege to serve the Lord with his people in Nigeria. We have understood more fully what it is to abhor evil because we see the effects on a daily basis, but also to learn to hold fast to what is good. It's been a privilege to walk alongside God's people as they hold fast to what is good through providing a place of safety for those impacted by abuse, neglect, or accusations of witchcraft, holding fast to what is good through promoting child protection guidelines, which are only occasionally seen in society, holding fast to what is good in education, being able to teach children to read for themselves so that they can read the Bible for themselves, and being able to provide a school where children and staff don't cheat in exams or pay to have results falsified. Holding fast with God's people to good practices of honesty and accountability in financial dealings, even as an organization. In chapter 12, verse 12, it says again, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." Donald has already talked about the mutual encouragement that should be evident amongst God's people. As you've watched the news, or we have listened to personal stories of tribulation, persecution, loss of life, corruption, injustice, that many of our colleagues share about life in Nigeria, it can be so easy to despair. Yet their patient perseverance and persistence in prayer has encouraged us to do likewise. As we see God respond to the prayers of his people, through his people, it's great cause to give him praise. Whether it's the simple yet overwhelming response from people in the UK to request for Christmas hats for our pupils, or the reality that our colleagues can love each other with brotherly affection despite deep cultural or tribal differences because they are in Christ, we can be mutually encouraged to rejoice in hope and join in the wondrous mystery of prayer for each other.
Let me come back to one specific area in which we should pray for Christian maturity and good pastoral teaching. I want us to see one other place in Acts where Paul and Barnabas are strengthening a group of believers. This is Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Notice how Paul and Barnabas combine strengthening and encouraging the disciples at the same time as giving clear teaching about the fact of suffering in the Christian life. Persecution for the sake of Christ is a reality for many in Nigeria, especially in the north. Many of our students suffer much for the sake of Christ. How should we pray for our brothers and sisters? Well, first pray that when they are persecuted, believers will stand firm in the faith. And pray that Christians will not respond with hatred or retaliation. But remember Jesus' words, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Hatred can often be the response of those who are Christians in name only, those who are not true children of the Father. But it also seems that many Christians have not understood this essential aspect of gospel truth. God loved us while we were his enemies. We need to pray for Christian maturity, good pastoral teaching, and good training of students in this area. Now, I don't want to give the impression that we as a family are in constant danger. We do need to be wise as we travel around the country from place to place, but we live in a relatively quiet part of the city, in a pleasant compound, which is pictured here. Matthew is enjoying an orange from one of the trees that grow in the compounds, which we share with several other families. The children attend a nearby Christian school. So for our children, they enjoy life where we are and going to school in Jos. Let me mention a little about our future plans. It has been a great privilege for us to serve with Mission Africa for 6 years. For the last 3 years, we have been working very closely with another mission agency, SIM, which you may know as the organization which Darren and Ruthie Campbell serve with. As we have worked very closely with SIM, we have become convinced that we could serve more effectively if we were fully integrated into SIM. So we will finish our work with Mission Africa at the end of this year, and then there may be some delay in our return to Nigeria. We would appreciate prayer for this process. Finally, we would like to finish with this verse from Romans chapter 12, where Paul is speaking about the unity of the church. Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. If we belong to each other, then we share in joys and sorrows. There is much to rejoice about in the growth of Christ's church in Nigeria and around the world. But we weep with our brothers and sisters and their suffering. Let us remember to pray for the persecuted church. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Amen.